Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's say we live in a world where the Kansas City Chiefs are back in the AFC Championship game. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Yes, I'm not trying to fast forward too much, but let's live in a world, Pearl, where the Chiefs win this weekend. It's going to be their playoff debut. They've been had the bye. They've been rested. We know Andy Reid off a bye. Very gaudy record. Mahomes hasn't thrown a pass since Christmas. They're just going into this game in really good shape because I don't think anyone will accuse the Chiefs of having rust. They played more games over the last 5 years than any other team. So let's just assume they get past the Texans. Who would have a better chance of dethroning the Chiefs in this hypothetical AFC Championship game? Not to look ahead too much. Would it be the Bills or would it be the Ravens?
Oh, God. I'm going to say logically it's the Ravens. In my heart, I know it's the Bills because the Bills have been knocking at that door for so long and they've been so close that they have to get through eventually. It's just luck. Like, I mean, the two losses were so close, the 13-second game and last year, that I feel like the Chiefs can't keep beating them that narrowly. Eventually, luck will turn. Now, the only reason I was tempted to say the Ravens was Derrick Henry, but I do think the Bills, style-wise, can control the ball. And the Chiefs, both teams, it's so funny. Both teams are just going to want to control the ball.
Yeah.
And they have these great quarterbacks, and they're going to want to run. So I think the Bills, if you have three close games, there's just no way the luck is going to turn against you three times in a row. I know that's not a football analysis, but I think that's like what most people feel. Like eventually, like the Chiefs can't beat them narrowly every single time. Eventually, they're going to lose one of those close games.
Okay, can I introduce another non-X's and O's thing into that equation, though? The Chiefs have ended the Bills season 3 out of the last 4 years. Is there a mental aspect of this where you just don't feel like you're going to beat them? Now, they beat them in the regular season, but that doesn't really mean jack. I don't think that the Ravens feel that way about the Chiefs. They don't have, last year's AFC Championship game, that's painful. You lose a home game to the Chiefs when you are the number one seed. Yeah, it stinks. But there's not that eventuality. I think for some Bills fans, and I don't know if this is the players, I'm sure it's probably not, but for fans, there's an idea that you just can't beat them, that something's always going to happen. The Bengals fans don't have that. They've watched their team beat the Chiefs in a big moment. And I don't think the Ravens haven't had enough matchups in the postseason with the Chiefs. The Bills have had, again, 3 out of the last 4 years. You have to feel like you're banging your head against the wall, and it may never happen. Like, they have your number. Mm. And again, that's a cliche. It's not a football statistic. You want to X's and O's this thing and talk about gap schemes, we'll do that too. But I'm just talking about the mental aspect of it. Do you feel like, oh, we just can never beat them?
I think it's the opposite. I think the Bills feel like, hey, we weren't even that good last year, and we took them. The Bills were not. It wasn't a year they were supposed to do anything last year. For some, I can't even remember why.
People didn't think the Chiefs were that great last year. Remember that?
But that actually nobody gave the Bills a chance in that game. Was it injuries? I can't even remember why we were down on the Bills last year. Oh, because Diggs had been de-emphasized. But they started off there. It was an up and down year.
No, they had to win 5 in a row just to make the playoffs.
Right, and then they were right there with the Chiefs in that game. I think they at least they know they can get into the final minute of a game with it still being a game. game. The Ravens, it's funny, their star player, Lamar Jackson, he's got by far the biggest mental hurdle of this playoffs because he has not played up to his level in the postseason. Josh Allen has. Lamar has actually been way below what we expect of Lamar. So I think there's a mental hurdle. I think it's Lamar Jackson. I think the Bills feel like, okay, we know the Chiefs were kind of comfortable in this.
855-212-4227. Who would have a better shot of dethroning the Chiefs if we fast forward here a little to the AFC Championship?
Also, let me ask you one question because you follow the Bills so closely.
Yeah.
Who's a better road team? The Buffalo's been really good at home this year. How do either of those teams travel to Arrowhead? If the game was in, you know, it was in Baltimore last year and it didn't seem to help the Ravens at all. So I don't know what it means exactly. If the game was in Buffalo, I would like Buffalo. I feel going to Arrowhead, that is a hard assignment, and I'm not sure which team travels better.
Well, listen, I mean, Baltimore went to Arrowhead earlier this season, and they were a toenail away, Isaiah Likely, the back of the end zone. I thought that was weird.
Game of the year, though.
Teams are totally different now. I think that one way I would give the Ravens the nod there, I think the Bills' offensive line is really good. The defensive line is good, but we'll see what they can do against Derrick Henry. The Ravens' lines, I think, are good. The Ravens have changed their defense. I think maybe you could throw on the Ravens a little bit, but I don't know about running on the Ravens. I really don't. So I think the line, that's the old cliche, is lines travel. I think their offensive line is very good, and I think their defensive line's good. So I guess maybe I'd give the nod there a little bit. The only thing I think you can do is maybe throw on the Ravens a little bit. And again, they made all these changes with Kyle Hamilton and moving him around and kind of locked down that defense a little bit more.
I also think people are killing me for this on social media for over a month now. Which quarterback of Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen is better prepared for weather in Kansas City? Because I'll tell you right now, the way the weather's trending this month, it's going to be freezing for that AFC title game. I don't know this year if it's a later or earlier. I think Josh Allen's a little bit more ready for a super cold game. I'm basing this on the fact that Lamar is from Florida, and I don't care he's played, and he's never played anywhere near this cold. Never anywhere, not within 20 degrees of 8 degrees. So, like, honestly, you keep poo-pooing this idea.
I am.
I just don't think, like, he's going to be comfortable passing the ball in 8-degree weather.
I think for guys who are elite of the elite of the elite, of which Lamar Jackson is, I just don't think you're getting the cold being the differentiating factor.
Well, you don't think Matthew Stafford's elite, and you're telling me that's not going to affect Matthew Stafford's game?
Yeah, but Matthew Stafford is not being talked. He might go to the Hall of Fame, but no one's saying this year Matthew Stafford is right there with Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Burrow. He's definitely a tier below.
I think Matt, well, in what sense?
And he's 30, what is he, 37?
Matthew Stafford's a tier below, but Matthew Stafford's just as good a quarterback as anybody. Like, nobody's going into a game and saying, well, we got the better quarterback when Matthew Stafford's on the other side.
I don't see Lamar Jackson being like Tua, where it's like, well, you got him and the weather, and he's going to, because he's from Florida, I think he's too good for that. And he's been in Baltimore since he got drafted, and Baltimore is not warm this time of year.
Yeah, it feels like Josh Allen's bigger, and if the game goes away, if you take out the passing from either the Bills or the Ravens, like it feels like for me that if it's too cold to really pass the ball downfield, that favors the Bills because the Ravens have Derrick Henry, but they also have this weapon where you gear up for the run, then they catch you on the long pass. I think that gets taken away in the cold weather. So, and I think the Chiefs are perfect for the cold weather because they want to just short pass, run, short pass, run. They have no explosives, so they're really good in the cold weather.
You know, I don't understand why guys, I just assume they do. Didn't Brady give the blueprint of quarterbacks in cold weather that you have to wear that scuba suit that he used to wear under his uniform?
Yeah, it's a good one. Lamar said yesterday, I tried a glove and it didn't work. So he'll have bare hands too.
So will Josh. He's not
Josh doesn't use glove. Gloves? Okay.
No. I think it's hard.
I mean, a lot of quarterbacks use it, don't they, in the freezing weather?
855-212-4227, weather being a factor. Jeff in Tucson wants to react to a question we asked you last hour, which is, of the 8 teams that remain in this divisional round, what would make the best Super Bowl matchup out of these 8 teams? Jeff, go ahead.
Good morning, Maggie. It's Furloff. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Furloff, I'm surprised you're riding the Bills. But you're just trying to make Maggie feel good this morning.
No,
he's trolling me.
No, it's
he's a mush.
Jeff, it's a home game. I mean, come on. If this game was in Baltimore, I would bet my life saving on Baltimore. But they're going to go into Buffalo in the freezing weather and win this game? Explain why.
Well, two reasons why. Because Baltimore is not that warm a place to play anyway. And you got to remember that this is a team that can run the ball down somebody's throat now. And they can control the ball and keep the ball away from the big juggernaut that Josh Allen can be, and run the ball. So if you can run the ball, play defense, right?
No, they've got the formula, Jeff. Listen, there's a reason why they're a slight favorite. You have to hope that Josh Allen he needs the game of his life, although we've seen him have the game of his life before and come up short. The defense has to be all, if they can limit Derrick Henry, you're not stopping him. If you can limit him, you have a prayer.
Maggie, don't we want to see two teams that have never won a Super Bowl be in the Super Bowl?
I think so.
I do.
Here's a question, though, Jeff. Who gets to claim to be the scrappy underdog if it's Lions-Bills?
I think it gets to be the Lions.
Yeah, I agree.
The fourth down boy. He loved that. You know, I'm a Browns fan. But that guy, I love that guy.
Everyone loves Campbell. Everyone loves Campbell until they hate him. Jeff, thanks so much. And when I say that, I don't mean personally. I mean, he got more criticism after the NFC Championship game last year than I've seen a singular head coach outside of Kyle Shanahan, I guess, get in a long time.
I mean, we'll never see it coming.
I disagree. But Shanahan not taking the ball first in overtime, that was all time.
Well, and Shanahan as a coordinator with the Falcons.
Yeah,
no, Shanahan's gotten his fair share, but people were all over Dan Campbell after last year's loss to the 49ers.
I didn't see it that way. I thought it was like there were two plays. There was the fumble and Josh Reynolds dropping that ball. That's the only reason they lost that game. But regardless, I do disagree with one thing about it. I don't think you're seeing the Jahmyr Gibbs wagon coming. I think he's the face of the NFL if the Lions win. I think he's shoots up to the number one star in the entire NFL. He is electric. Like, I think he's like, he's way more exciting than Saquon even. And Saquon jumped over a guy backwards. I saw this stat. He is the most effective. Only Marshall Faulk has had more yards per touch ever than Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he will be the star of the whole project if they win the whole thing. And obviously David Montgomery's coming back, but you know, for the Lions to win it all, it's going to have to be a huge Gibbs game. I think he is about to be a rocket ship in the NFL.
Interesting. Yeah. When I think of the Lions and who the face of the Detroit Lions is, it's Dan Campbell. I think it's weird, like a college team where it's actually the coach that's the face of the team as opposed to the players, because Jared Goff is not the biggest star on the team. Aiden Hutchinson is hurt for this run, so we're not getting nearly enough as much Aiden Hutchinson as we normally would. Amon-Ra St. Brown is out there. Yeah. He's got the podcast, very popular guy. I think Dan Campbell's the guy.
Yeah, I think Gibbs is the star of the team. I think Gibbs is like one of the stars of the NFL, because it kind of reminds me of like when Lamar Jackson first hit. Like, we just haven't seen this in forever. Like, when's the last time a running back has been able to do this?
Well, I think people look at Saquon. They look at Derrick Henry. They see running backs have a great – Josh Jacobs had a great year. But he was like the focal point of their offense.
It's like Gibbs is old school. He's like when Barry came out. Like, it's just – I think Saquon is amazing and great, but – he's like a video game. It's just incredible to me. When you see an athlete who moves differently than everybody else, kind of like Deion did in the 90s or Randy Moss in the 2000s, that's to me what Gibbs is. I think if the Lions win the whole thing, just watch. He will just skyrocket as far as superstardom.
Is he the Sonic or the Knuckles in their little Sonic and Knuckles thing?
I don't know the Sonic and Knuckles thing.
Well, I remember playing the video game as a kid, but I don't know who's who. Manny, EJ's out getting the breakfast order. Who's Sonic and who's Knuckles of these two guys?
I think David Montgomery is Sonic. We'll get the
you
research.
You don't know.
We'll get
you're
the research
guessing.
Team. Listen, you're asking a kid born in 97 about Sonic and Knuckles. I'm sorry, I didn't play much Sonic when I was growing up.
Oh, this is too old of a reference for you.
I think so. I mean, all the Sonic, I played sports video games growing up, so I mean, yeah.
Okay.
You know the other thing about Dan Campbell, like, who's going to get credit if they win this thing?
Campbell. Oh, Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson by a mile. It's going to be like, and then he leaves. And I think this is sort of like Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka. Ditka was obviously a huge star, but I think Ben Johnson's set up to get a lot of the credit for this, especially when he gets hired for $25 million a year or something crazy.
That's going to be nuts. 855-212-4227. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on what you see for this weekend's games. Who you got? Ravens, Bills. Is anyone going to pull the upset this weekend?
Jahmyr Gibbs is Sonic.
Gibbs is Sonic. Okay. Well, that makes sense because he's kind of the lead back. Hey, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention one of our absolute favorites passed away yesterday. Bob Uecker was 90 years old. Bob Uecker, I mean, you can't have like a bigger crossover, you know, a guy who parlayed a six-season Major League Baseball career into a Hall of Fame broadcasting career, one of the more and most entertaining voices and personalities that we had in baseball. And he was such a big part of my childhood, Perloff, because Major League and Mr. Belvedere were hitting in times when I was definitely watching all that stuff, him being on the Miller Lite commercials. It's such a big loss. But when someone is 90 years old, luckily we get to reflect and celebrate their life because we got to be a part of it for so long.
Yeah, he came on the Dan Patrick Show all the time and was... He batted, I know he batted famously like 200 as a Major League Baseball player. He batted 1,000 as a radio guest. I mean, he never, you know how some people are just funny every time they talk?
Yep.
Every single time. So sharp, so funny. Even into his 80s, he was on point. I don't know. Say what you want about him, anything you want about him, being a nice guy or whatever. That guy was legit funny. A very, very, very funny human being.
So as we continue on with the show this morning, we'll leave you with some of our favorite memories of the late Bob Uecker.
Rookie sensation, Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kelner.
Vaughn. Thank God.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
Oh, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. I have a 11-year-old nephew who said continually sending me the same image. It's a picture of an incoming call from the Washington Commanders with the word fraud on it.
Oh, gosh.
And I just saw the NFL Network was doing that. Or ESPN was doing that, too. Parker, he's hysterical. He hates the Commanders more than... I'm like, dude, you're supposed to hate the Cowboys, not the Commanders.
this is like the mini Eagles fans in training.
So Parker's... Yeah, Parker's betting against the Commanders this weekend, which is fun. I don't think he's a big fantasy football player. I don't think he's in the betting market yet, but he would definitely...
Wait, I'm sorry. How old is he?
11.
Does he have like a DraftKings mini account?
No, but talk fantasy football with an 11-year-old, they will run circles around you. Oh, my God.
I totally think that's true. Yeah, I bet 11-year-old would beat me in fantasy and probably not even try that hard.
They have nothing else in their brain going on except stats.
Yeah, right. Get a mortgage, then come back and talk to us. Okay, let's get to our pal Nick Costos from You Better You Bet. He joins us every Friday at this time, and he's one of our absolute favorites. Nick, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm 41, and that's how my brain works also, is stats in fantasy football. So I'm like an 11-year-old kid, so great to
maturity-wise, I could see that.
Yeah, you know what? You've made a nice living off of it. It's working for
Not
you.
Bad.
You know, at
Not
some
bad.
Point, we will get... You are an expert in a lot of things, sports, gambling, and otherwise, but also tattoos. We'll get your thoughts. Manny is looking for a little inspiration. He wants to get some new ink. The rest of us don't have tattoos on the show, so... We thought maybe you could help him out. But first, we got football to get to. Let's start with the National...
Are we doing the tattoo stuff today? I'm excited. Or like another time?
Well, first, we got to get to every single game that's being played weekend for our audience. Let's try to help them win some money. Maybe we'll start... Let's go in chronological order, actually. Why don't we just start with that Chiefs-Texans game? How do you play this? Do you like the spread? Do you like the total? What's the betting angle?
Yeah, so I very much, Maggie, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I actually think I'm in the... We'll talk about this when we get to Ravens-Bills at the end. I think I'm in the minority here, where most people now that I deal with, who I think are really smart, it doesn't mean they have to be right, but I think a lot of people think that Kansas City's not going to win the Super Bowl this year. And instead of saying who I think is going to, and we could save that for the end when we do Ravens and Bills. But I'm still on the Kansas City's the best team train. Have the best quarterback, have the best coach, best defensive coordinator. Did I mention they have the best quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention they have the best quarterback? and he's like the best one of all time. Like him and Brady probably. So I do think the Chiefs will win the game. If I'm betting the game against the spread, I would bet Houston plus the points. It's a huge jump up from where this point spread was when they played about a month ago or 3 weeks ago. Kansas City closed a 3.5-point home favorite in that game right around Christmas time. Now we're sitting above 7 at 8.5. So if I had to bet it, I'd bet Houston. But the way I'd rather bet this game would be to tease Kansas City down from 8.5 to 2.5. And maybe we get another leg to pair it with as the week goes along here. Earlier in the week, Baltimore was available as a teaser leg. Buffalo was available. Detroit was available. In terms of teasing down or up through 7 and 3, 3 and 7, they don't exist now. I do like Kansas City as a teaser leg. If I had to bet the game, I'd bet Houston. I feel pretty strongly that the Chiefs will win by 7 points or less.
What about the total, 41.5? I'm not sure where Houston finds offense in this game, Nick.
Well, you know, I will say the Texans, they were in a bunch of 3rd and 10s last week, and they did get a little lucky. The serendipitous bounce to Stroud on the 3rd and 16 fumble at the end of the first half when it bounces right back to him. He had Xavier Hutchinson down the field. They go on to score a touchdown on the stroke of halftime to Nico Collins. But, you know, Collins looked awesome last week, and whether or not Joe Mixon plays in the game, and he's questionable right now with an ankle injury, I think this could be just a huge Nico Collins game, and he's so good that I don't know if anybody could stop him here. If I had to bet the total, I bet the under, but I don't have to do anything, so I'm going to be on the sidelines of the total. I need Kansas City to win the game. I have Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, so I'll just be rooting on the Chiefs to win. Chiefs and teaser legs. If you're doing a money line parlay, I would put Kansas City in the money line parlay and feel pretty good about it.
Nick Costos joining us from You Better You Bet, BetQL Network. And so twin 8.5-point spreads is what I'm seeing now. That was Houston and Kansas City. I'm seeing that now for Washington and Detroit. This got as high as 10 earlier in the week, Nick, but now it's sitting at 8.5. Do you like the points for the similar reasons that you would take the Texans or no?
Yeah. So I bet MGM I'm seeing a 9.5, which doesn't mean there aren't 8.5s elsewhere. So my advice to people would be, if you'd like what I think will be a winning two-team teaser leg on Saturday, would be to tease Kansas City down to -2.5 and pair it with Detroit, down to 2.5. So you just need the Lions and the Chiefs to win by 3, and you win your teaser. I think that's it. I placed that teaser on Sunday night when all the lines came out. I do think that's a teaser leg that's going to win, is Chiefs and I think those are the teams that are going to play in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the Lions. As far as the points spread of the game goes, Maggie, you mentioned that this did touch 10 at points this week. My co-host on You Better You Bet, Femi Abebefe, he grabbed the 10 with the Washington Commanders, and I would do the same. I do think that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback left standing in the NFC. And I think he's the best quarterback already, period, in the conference. Now, it's not like a one-on-one basketball game. It's a team football game, right? So I'm not saying the Commanders are going to win. But if you bet the Lions in this game, Detroit can win by 30. Their team total is the highest of the season in any game, 33.5. So betting market saying they're going to score at least 33 points in the game, which is kind of nuts, right? Kind of nuts. So Detroit's going to score a ton. Are you going to be comfortable if you bet Detroit and let's say they're up 35-21 with 2 minutes left and Jaden Daniels is driving the ball down the field to backdoor the game? So teasing Detroit, I think, is the best option here. I'd never bet the under in the game. No, I would never bet the under at 55.5.
Maggie, can you not listen for a second? Can I give you my big prop bet this week, Nick? What do you think of Sam Laporta going over on 49.5 yards? Like, how do you see the Lions attacking this game?
Yeah, so I think I think Perloff, you've correctly identified kind of the second level of the Washington defense as being kind of shoddy, right? Linebackers and safeties, and big time area of attack, and this is what Jared Goff wants to do, and what the Lions want to do. They want to attack the middle of the field. Like, that's kind of how they operate on offense, and take a couple shots down the field on the boundary or the perimeter to Jameson Williams. So look, like, my only issue with Laporta is, what if Amon-Ra just goes for 170? But then what if Laporta goes for 120 and Amon-Ra has 60? What if they could both have 100 yards? So both of those guys, Amon-Ra and Laporta, I think you can make a really good case for, because they'll operate over the middle of the field, where I think you can really hurt this Commanders defense.
Okay, Perloff's Eagles against the Rams. I joke with Perloff that he doesn't even like his own team. I think you do... I think the book is out on Jalen Hurts. Nobody's really behind him. I think they're waiting just to pile on him. The outside world's waiting to pile on Nick Sirianni. What do you think about this game from a betting perspective, Nick?
So this was 6.5 at open. Eagles -6.5. Went down to 5.5, and now we're sitting at 6 again. So a little bit of a push-pull going on here.
Yeah.
My sense is is that the Eagles will draw some action in between now and kickoff. That I think the Eagles will be the quote-unquote sharp side in the game, which doesn't mean they're going to win or lose, just what I think is going to happen. If and when that happens, I'll try and bet the Rams at the biggest point I can. Like, I'd love to get +7. I don't know if I'm going to. I would take 6.5 with the Rams, though. And I do think, you know, and a lot of people criticize Sean McVay leading into Week 18 for sitting Matthew Stafford and you know, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and Kyren Williams and punting the 3 seed. Looks pretty smart on Monday when Sam Darnold can hit the broadside of a barn. And it looked like that week off, in all seriousness, like, did Matthew Stafford, like, really great. The Rams were winning games down the stretch, but Stafford didn't look good in those games. Like, they had that huge point explosion against Buffalo, and from there, it was kind of like not a ton going on. And I think that week off rejuvenated him, and you saw that on Monday night. The opening drive, he's throwing darts. I have two bets that I like in this game. Number one will be the Rams to cover. I would like a bigger number than exists right now. And the second would be, I'm going to bet the over in the game. Now, we could have snow in the forecast for both games on Sunday in Philadelphia and in Baltimore. So I think you'll probably see the total come down a little bit if people, like, turn their TVs on Sunday and see there's inclement weather and see there's snow.
Yep.
At 43.5, I think that this is going to be a big Puka Nacua game. I love the Eagles defense, best defense left standing. I don't think they can stop him. And for the Eagles, I might be the last, like, Jalen Hurts defender. I think it's in a big game. I think you get good Jalen Hurts performances. I'll bet the over in the game. I'll bet the Rams to cover. Make me pick the winner of the game. I do think the Eagles win a very close game at the end.
It's so funny, Nick. I completely disagree with what you just said.
Okay. Reasonable minds can disagree. Are you reasonable?
No. The Rams sitting week 18. The Rams are going into a snow game. I mean, this is a disaster. They should have gone to Detroit. Because
Why is that a disaster?
I saw them.
They got to play the Vikings in the first round. Would you rather have played the Commanders?
They could have beaten either team. But you're going to have to beat a team at that level. Remember,
you would rather have played the Commanders than the Vikings, dude?
No. But they could have. The Rams would have beaten the Commanders in L.A., I think.
Maybe.
I definitely think so. But regardless,
I don't know, they beat the Vikings by 20. I mean, that's a pretty good outcome.
You saw them when they went to your Giants, who were the worst team in the league 2 years ago and almost lost on the East Coast. This year, they looked awful against the Jets on the East Coast.
We're going back to 2022.
They're not good when they go to cold games on the East Coast. Like, this is not a fair fight.
Okay, so look, you might be right. I would strongly advise you to bet the Eagles. If your handicap is the Rams can't play outdoors.
I love the Rams. Like, I thought they were good. I've been saying, like, that's a Super Bowl team. I think they're so talented.
So you're a Philly guy, right? I'll do the line here. Yeah. You got to choose your slant, buddy. What is it here?
I'm just
Rams
saying,
or Eagles?
Maggie knows I'm a bandwagon jumper. The Rams, I think, blew their chance by getting this outdoor game in the playoff schedule. I think they could be right there with the Lions. They could beat the Eagles in L.A. They could beat anybody in a warm weather game.
So what happens? So let me ask you something.
I think the Rams cover and they lose this game.
So you actually agree with everything I said then?
No, I think the Rams screwed up Week 18. I think that this is a super talented team that's really, really good.
But let's say they went to Detroit this weekend and won. What are they doing next weekend?
Coming to Philly.
Well, that's if... Yeah, that's a good point.
They're going to have to play outside at some point.
Well, let me ask you, like,
outside at some point.
Betting question, though, in reality, how are you looking at the weather? And you'll get into the next game. Like,
yeah,
if you're betting on the Rams, aren't you nervous about this weather? Because that is actually what I was thinking about.
So it's really, I think, and I'll just, you know, this is all publicly available information on this thing called, like, Google. We could Google everybody, like, Philadelphia weather. So let's see for Sunday. And obviously, I say all the time, the only people that are wrong more often than sports betting prognosticators to get to keep their jobs are weathermen. So we're looking right now on Sunday, winds of 11 miles per hour. So I say this all the time, and it's really important for people. It's not snow unless you're talking Noah's Ark. Well, I guess Noah's Ark is rain. Unless you're talking like gigantic blizzard, like North Pole level, Antarctica level stuff. It's not rain and it's not snow that destroys offenses. It's wind.
Yeah.
Wind is what messes up a passing offense. Like, think about it. If it's raining and the field's a little slippery, offensive players know where they're going when the ball is being snapped. Defensive players don't. This is an intrinsic advantage for offenses. And the wind... right now, says 11 miles per hour. What we're looking for, where offenses really start to get screwed up, is like 25 mile per hour winds. So we're not even close to that right now. So if there's snow on the ground, like whatever, 30 degrees, it's cold, whatever. If there's snow on the ground, there's a term that was popularized. I think it was by a guy named Stuckey who works for the Action Network, who's come on You Bet or You Bet before. Snover. A snow over, where people look and they say, oh my, this is a real thing. It doesn't mean it has to win, but people will look and say, oh my God, there's snow on the ground. How are they going to score? Actually, they have a better chance of scoring now than they did if the conditions were pristine. Like, wind is what you want to avoid. I don't think we're going to get wind in either game on Sunday.
Nick Costos joining us from You Better You Bet. And may I just say, for the record of the show, we have finally found someone who botched a Bible story even worse than me. Yeah. Nick thought that Noah's Ark was snow, and I thought bad. That yeah. Abel beat Cain.
No, that's much worse than
it's
Abel
not.
Beat Cain.
Is that?
Yes, Nick knows more about Noah Gray than Noah from the Bible.
I went to Catholic school all my life. I go to church every Sunday. That's not true. Not during football season. I'm a bad Catholic.
You pick it up right after the Super Bowl. Okay,
that's true.
Two more games for you. One NFL and then the college football national championship. But okay, the big finale here, Ravens, Bills. How you betting this game?
What do you think's going to happen, Bills fan? Who do you think's going to win?
I'm being confident here. I think that they have to sell out to stop Henry, and if they can contain him, if he rushes for like 70 yards or something, I think the Bills win.
Wow, it's a pretty awful thing to have to say. If Derrick Henry goes for 70 yards, I think he's probably going to go for more for that. I love the Ravens. My favorite bet of the week. If I could only make one bet this week, it would be this game. So I alluded to earlier, I disagree with what I'm about to say, what people think. Basically, and actually, and Femi and I talked about this yesterday on You Better You Bet. We have had a wide variety of guests on the show this week. I talked to a lot of people off air, which is not to make myself sound cool. We're just all sports fans, and we all talk to people that like sports. Some of the people I talk to like bet like tons of money on games and like are pretty and are really smart with this stuff. Everybody likes Baltimore. I haven't encountered one person that likes the Bills, and I'll take it a step further. Almost everybody thinks the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't. I'll pick. So we come on here next week and it's Chiefs Ravens in the AFC title game. I'm taking Kansas City, but I'm just telling you, like, the Ravens are probably going to be favored in that game, or it's going to be a pick at worst in Kansas City.
Can I ask you just a question? I don't want to interrupt your rant here, but did these same smart people think this last year about the Ravens?
Well, a lot of them did. We didn't on You Better You Bet. We bet Kansas City plus the 5.5 in the A. It was really great.
No, it's awesome.
So look,
but all those people who said it was going to be a slam dunk and the Ravens had this great year, they were wrong. And now they're going to go on the road.
Yeah, I preface this by saying, like none of this is predictive.
Yeah,
that like it has to be right. The Bills can win by 20. I'm offering this context that I haven't heard one person. Mm. You're right, Maggie. This is not like a verbal cue for people to go bet your net worth on Baltimore. Buffalo can definitely win the game.
Yeah,
but everyone that I deal with likes the Ravens. I also like the Ravens, so I bet the Ravens on open immediately. I teased the Ravens when this was +1.5. I think Lamar is. They're both going to be Hall of Fame players. They're both great. I think Lamar is a little better right now, and Josh is great too. It's not an insult. They're both awesome. I think the Ravens are a better team, and I don't think even with players back that missed Week 4 when the Ravens blitzed them on Sunday Night Football, albeit in Baltimore, players are back. This is still an undersized defense. I think the Ravens are going to run all over them. I dispute the notion that this is a last quarterback with the ball wins the game. Mm. I think the Ravens might win by 10. It's my favorite bet of the weekend. If I could only bet one game, it would be this one with a bullet. The Ravens to beat the Bills. I'm sorry.
Wait, sorry. When you see everybody, all the sharp people you talk to going on one side, how does that usually work out? I'm actually not being snarky here. When all the experts go one way, like part of my brain was like, oh, well, that means that sometimes that means when everyone's headed in one way that the Bills are going to win.
Yeah, I think I try not to get, because it's like, you know, it's like the gambler's fallacy. It's like when you see we're going to a roulette table and it's like black 8 times in a row and you think, well, it has to be red now, does it?
Like it's 50-50,
it's less than 50-50 because you have like the zeros. It's not a finite number of spins. There's billions of spins, and in those billions of spins, it could land red or black 500 times in a row. It doesn't have to go the other way. So I try not to get, it's an interesting talking point. I'm a human being, and like I think that. Like I need the Ravens to win on Sunday. Yeah. I would like for that to happen. And I'm even like, damn, man, can I get one person that likes the other side here, please? Yeah. I have encountered one on my show yet this week. Not one.
Yeah. I mean, I think Derrick Henry has made a career of running over a lot of teams, including Buffalo, even going back to the Titans days.
Ohio State, Notre Dame, before we leave, can you call your friend Chip Kelly and tell him not to run the ball into the line first and second down and give Ohio 8.5 points? Sorry, that feels like just a lot because you don't know which Ohio State offense is going to come out there.
Yeah, so I think I said this with you guys last week prior to the Texas game. Like, I have Ohio State to win the title. I have them in it exacta to beat Notre Dame. I've been coming on the show for, like, the duration of the playoffs saying Ohio State's the best team. I just need Ohio State to win. So I'm not betting the game. I have Ohio State already in the game. If I had to bet the game, I would lay Ohio State here. I do not think that this is going to be like Georgia TCU. I'm not saying that. 65-7. That's not what it's going to be. Notre Dame's too good, much better than TCU. And this Ohio State team's probably not as good as that Georgia team. But I do think this is going to be like I don't think the game's going to be close. Credit to Notre Dame for getting here. Shout out to them for beating Penn State, which was an awesome result for me to get to this exacta. I was rooting for them. I had money on them. It was great. I think Marcus Freeman's great. I would never let my wife around him. But great coach.
Yeah.
Too handsome. Almost.
Way too handsome.
Yeah.
Like it's like Fight Club. Like, I want to destroy something beautiful. He'd kick my ass.
Attractive guy. Yeah. I totally agree.
I mean, it's just, it is what it is. Great coach. Ohio State's 50 times better than Notre Dame. I think that's final score. We had a pro bettor come on the show yesterday who said 38-7 for the final score. I'll go with that. I think Ohio State wrecks them on Monday night.
Okay, so that would mean the under would hit at 46.5. All right, Nick, we only have a minute left. Instead of asking you for an upset pick, I think we're going to ask you for a little advice for Manny. Manny's looking to get some new ink. He revealed to
what
us.
What does he
today,
have?
Okay, he's
like,
got.
What does
he
have already? Yeah,
we've got a lion tattoo on the thigh, and we.
What's
have,
the style of the tattoo? Is it like American style? Like what is it?
Just the regular
Manny, like, pants off. Just kidding.
Just a regular, like a realistic.
Okay, like,
and he
okay,
also has a tribal
anklet,
and we said what tribe, and he said yes.
Yeah, well, what tribe? Yeah, it's a silly question. He just wanted a tribal tattoo.
That's right.
I'll speak for him there. Yes, 100%, of course. So here's cool. Where we're at, Manny. So I don't think so, but that beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I have Japanese tattoos. You might think that's really lame. So Manny, you're already like, which is totally fine. There are no rules with this stuff, but you have different styles already.
Correct.
You have like an American realism and then you have a tribal tattoo.
Correct.
So I would ask you, like, you're not I'm kind of married to Japanese at this point. Like, what would you like, what style do you want your next tattoo to be in? And then we can kind of get specific from there.
So themes.
I want to start a sleeve that's basically just NYC themed. Just a bunch
okay,
of New
great.
York City stuff. So
okay.
That's why.
Like, why are you asking us?
Because,
you know what you want.
Because here's the thing. I asked them if, you know, getting Madison Square Garden with the Empire State Building in the back was a good idea. And I was met with some backlash from both my colleagues and my personal friends.
You want it. It's on your body. Why do you care what they think? I have a dragon and a koi fish on my arm. You think everybody likes that? My mom wanted to disown me. Who cares?
Wait, Nick, have you even been to Japan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, but that was Pearl Off.
I like
no.
how that's a is that a prerequisite? Yes, yeah. I have. By
yes.
the way, I have been to Japan.
I have been and to Madison
also,
Square Garden.
You have been to the garden.
And also, can you hold on? Can you see
yeah.
this? Here?
You're on video here.
I have this book in okay. my backdrop.
The book is Japanese tattoos.
Love it.
Because I love them.
No,
and
they
I,
look
and
great.
I'd like to get more of them.
I like the amount of flowers you have.
But I was against Madison Square Garden because you also have Penn Station in there, which is the worst place on earth.
But no, and like so. Look, this is the honest answer. Like. Things don't have to be good for everybody. I have two Japanese tattoos, right? People can hate them. That's cool. They're not on your body. So Perloff, like, you can hate Madison Square Garden and
yeah.
Penn Station is the chariot to the sixth level of Dante's Inferno. And when you walk into the bathroom, it's like someone's pissed on your face. It's the worst place on the planet. But if Manny likes it, he should get it. Like, Manny, you know what you want to do. Go do it, buddy.
Nick,
like,
I didn't talk about it. He wanted to do Port Authority, too. And I was like, don't do it.
But like, if that's what he wants, like, let him. It's his body.
Listen.
He knows what he wants.
Hey, everybody else can go scratch.
Perloff wants to get the Wawa on 78 tattooed
yeah, yeah.
on his body. So, yes.
Great.
Beauty
so, like, but why can't he do that? Why can't he do that? I think everybody should do whatever they want.
But Nick, that means that you don't think there are any stupid tattoos out there.
It's not that okay, so like my opinion can be something stupid, but like I can watch a TV show and think it's stupid, and you can watch a TV show and think it's great, and for you it's great, and for me it's stupid, and that's okay.
Man, Nick, I think can
like
we
how about
agree,
this?
Can we all agree
how
on tramp
like,
stamps though?
Well, for men, yeah, it's bad. I would say for women, I don't mind them for women. I'm not a fan of my wife having it if my wife had it.
You want your daughter to have a tramp
like
stamp?
It. No, my daughter's not getting any tattoos.
Sure.
Hey, listen, don't. It's too early for this, okay?
Too early
but
in
it's like,
life,
I watched,
too early in the day.
Too early in the morning. I watched, so we are way behind. I'm sorry if I'm taking this off track.
Yeah, we have 30 seconds.
So my daughter was born in May. We love the TV show The Bear. Because of that happened, we got completely derailed. So now we're watching it. I watched episode 8 of season 3 last night, and I thought it was one of the best episodes of TV I ever watched. I texted one of my friends who loves TV. I was like, what'd you think of this episode? He said it sucks. And in that moment, I hated him with the fire of a thousand suns. But also, I respect the right for him to have his incorrect opinion, and that's okay.
All right. There you go, Manny. Nick, thanks, so much. You can catch Nick Costos, the host of You Better You Bet, BetQL, Peacock, everything. Nick, thank you.
Yeah, these are pretty badass tattoos. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets. The absolute very best of luck.
There you go, Nick Costos. All right, we got to take a quick break. Got your bets there from Nick. We have a lot more to do, including an update just moments ago on the coaching cycle. We get to it next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus is here with headlines.
Let Dave Matthews play, Perloff.
Oh, that's Dave Matthews.
Oh, you turned my mic off?
No, you turned it off.
You turned your mic off. I didn't touch it.
Sorry, were you afraid that Bogus was going to start singing?
This isn't Crash, so I didn't know it was Dave Matthews.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Crash.
Yeah, you might be right, but actually, I don't know it. Does everyone know this? Did you know this song? I don't know. I don't know much.
She knew once their voice started, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. But I actually, we were starting, and I thought it was just lame, like Muzak, like light rock elevator music.
Wow.
Walked into that one. Okay, it's almost time for Maggie to say yes to the black hole dress. Dressing like a crazed Raiders fan is the punishment if Tom Brady continues in the Fox booth. And TB12's agent Don Yee told Sports Business Journal yesterday Brady remains fully committed to that TV gig no matter how he's helping the Raiders get better at football. Yee said this season, the first year of a long relationship.
This is not a story. No, like you saying it is fine. I know that. Someone's agent who negotiated this deal coming out to say they're going to do the whole deal is not a story. And I think he even like overshot this by saying he's going to do the whole 10 years.
He did, yeah.
That's insane. No, he's not. And I still think I have a shot to win this bet where Brady, I think he could say goodbye to broadcasting and then Perloff would have to dress up like a member of the black hole.
You know, the harder you work to prove this, doesn't matter one way or the other. This is up to Tom Brady. It's not up to you proving anything. This is, the bet
it's
is
not
out
up to
there.
Don
there's nothing
Yee.
There's nothing you could do now, Maggie. The die has been cast. This bet is happening. We don't even have to debate it anymore. It will be determined by week one of next season. It's going to be 4:00 on Sunday. Tom Brady's going to walk out. And by the way, Tom Brady's voice does not match this music at all. He's going to be calling the...
to Dallas.
Welcome to Dallas. Now, Dallas is going up against some lame team right now that Fox is like, we know Cowboys are going to get ready, so we're going to even have to use a good one.
Yeah. You guys are wrong for that, Brady. That is wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
he's running the Raiders right now. Will you also admit that?
Yeah. Is Shadow running the Raiders?
No, not even Shadow anymore. He's out there.
You think Ben Johnson all of a sudden was like, you know what? I like Mark Davis's haircut. No, the only reason why they have a shot at the hottest coordinator is because Brady is there telling them, I'm going to make everything okay.
Yeah, by the way, some of the reports on this coaching carousel, like, I'd like to hear from Ben Johnson's mouth that he is so interested in the Raiders. Because I know the reporters are all over this, but I got to be honest, like, does he really want this Raiders job?
I think Brady's saying, I know winning. Come to the winner. We'll be winners together. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like if he takes his job, I feel very bad for Ben Johnson.
Oh, yes.
He'll be very rich. I won't feel bad for him.
I don't feel bad.
True.
Do you think the NFL has made this decision like permanently that they're okay with whatever Brady does? Or is there still a line where the league goes, Tom, this is too much. We gotta pick one here. In terms of like being involved with the team
big time.
Staying on TV.
It's a gigantic... Maggie and I were just talking about it. Like, this is getting weird. Like, he can't run a team and be the... He can't be the GM of the Raiders and be a Fox broadcaster.
Well, he's doing it. And no, I do not think there's a line here. I think Tom Brady could show up dressed as a member of the black hole to call a Cowboys-Browns game, and they will allow him to do it.
Could he play for the Raiders at 1, be flown to a 4:30 game and work next to Burkhart, a different game?
No, I think he sold, like Tom Brady does. He lied to them in the owners' meeting in October and said, I think he misrepresented his role in the Raiders, and I think they're going to be upset. They're competitive. They don't want to get their butts beat by Tom Brady again. You don't think the owners are going to come after him? I think you're dead wrong.
Dynamite update.
Thanks. Very informative. Exhaustive.
We figured out that was Dave Matthews indeed on the rejoin music. And then we found out that Tom Brady's agent says he's going to still be with Fox for 10 years.
He also doesn't know how to work the on-off button on his microphone.
You sabotage me.
Maggie and Perloff. Okay. Football, real, divisional round, games that matter. We've got the number one question next.